भवतां प्रपितामहि श्रीशुक उवाच इत्यानुस्मृत्य स्वजनं कृष्णं च जगदीश्वरं रारुधा दुखिता राजन् भवतां प्रपितामिहि श्रीशुक उवाच इत्यानुस्मृत्य स्वजनं कृष्णं च जगदीश्वरं रारुधा दुखिता राजन् भवतां प्रपितामिहि Shukadev Goswami said, thus meditating on her family members and also on Krishna, the Lord of the universe, your great grandmother Kunti Devi began to cry in grief, O King. Samudhuka Sukho Kruro Vidurascha Mahayasha Svantvayam Ashatu Kuntim Tat Putrotpati Hetubhi. Both Akrura, who shared Queen Kunti's distress and happiness, and the illustrious Vidura, consoled the Queen by reminding her of the extraordinary way her sons had taken birth. Purport. Akrura and Vidura reminded Queen Kunti that her sons were born of heavenly gods and thus could not be vanquished like ordinary mortals. In fact, an extraordinary victory awaited this most pious family. Om Akyanti Medandasya Kyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanakatavato Sankirtanay Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksho Vishwambaro Dvijaparo Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sukadev Goswami said, thus meditating on her family members, and also on Krishna, the Lord of the universe, your great-grandmother, Kunti Devi, began to cry out in grief, O King. Kunti Devi. The Blessed Mother of the Pandavas. In this chapter of the Bhagavatam is revealing the distress of her heart to Akrura. Shukadev Goswami, the narrator of this beautiful pastime, is reminding Maharaj Parikshit that this very same Kunti Devi was his great-grandmother. In this way, Shukadev Goswami was not only glorifying his own disciple, Parikshit Maharaj, for his fortunate position of having such illustrious family members, being born in a dynasty of such exalted and pure devotees of the Lord. But he is also reminding Maharaj Parikshit that as your great-grandmother Kunti Devi, even in the face of the greatest tribulations and calamities in life, she always found shelter in crying out for Krishna. The Pandava family, although they were most blessed, intimate devotees of Lord Krishna, how many difficulties they had to undergo. Pandu himself he died at an early age. Bhishma, out of devotion for his father, had to take such a terrible vow to renounce his inheritance to be the king of the world. Queen Kunti, as a widow, had to raise her five children in an atmosphere where there was so much envy and hatred toward her own children, and the only fault that they had was that they were such pure and dedicated devotees that all good qualities were manifesting from them. And because they were so virtuous and so pure, they naturally won the love in the hearts of others. And Krishna empowered them to do such wonderful things. When one surrenders to Lord Sri Krishna, then Krishna gladly uses us as instruments of his mercy in this world and can reveal his all-attractive, beautiful qualities through us. And this is just what he did through the Pandavas. And seeing the exalted characteristics and the love and fame that the Pandavas were acquiring in their own humble way, Duryodhana, Dushasana, Shakuni, and even Dhritarashtra, they became terribly envious. Instead of admiring how these blessed souls were touched by the grace of God, They were intolerant because they wanted all recognition to be theirs. But you see, the Pandavas, they did not want any recognition for themselves. They wanted all glory to go to God, to Krishna. And because of their utter humility, they were so endowed with transcendental qualities. And because of the envy of Duryodhana, all of his virtues were burned by the fire of that jealousy toward Krishna's devotees. And Kunti Devi, as a mother, serving the Lord by caring for her own children, her heart being so soft, so kind, was constantly suffering the various predicaments that her children were being put through. They tried to murder them by burning them alive, by feeding them poison. They cheated them and banished them to the forest, forsaking them of their home, their family members. Terrible rakshasas living in the jungles, trying to eat them alive. And meanwhile, Kunti, in her heart of hearts, was always praying, Krishna, please protect them. Please give us the shelter of your lotus feet. We find here that Queen Kunti is crying out of grief. But she's crying for Krishna. And therefore that grief is actually the most sublime and beautiful ecstasy of the heart. The same emotions that we have in this world, when they are directed toward Krishna, they become the source of the greatest bliss, and they only increase the ecstatic nature of our love. When the gopis would cry for Krishna, it would only increase their absorption in Krishna. Similarly, Queen Kunti, who had a parental affection toward Krishna, the more she cried, the more she felt the divine presence of Krishna in her life. People who do not understand properly the higher sciences of spirituality, they cannot understand this. They feel that to become emotionless is the real attainment of detachment, to simply be indifferent to everything. But a piece of stone is also indifferent to everything. A piece of stone is also completely detached from all of the affairs of this world. To make our heart like stone is certainly not the eternal nature of our life. Our heart is not to become more hard, but to become more soft. To be just completely detached, aloof, insensitive, not caring, is the hardening of the heart. And we find oftentimes people who perform great, great tapasya without executing devotional service. Their spiritual practices make their hearts become harder and harder and harder. And for them, if they see that someone is crying, they think this is all just an illusion. This is the influence of Maya. Why you are crying? This means you have attachment. You are feeling sorrow? That means you are still in the world of duality. That means you still have desire. You must kill all desire. But here we find one of the greatest of all transcendentally realized souls, Kunti Devi, this illustrious lady and mother. She is weeping. She is crying. Tears flowing from her beautiful eyes. And her heart is actually suffering grief. But her condition of consciousness has far surpassed the state of detachment from this world. Her weeping and crying was because she was so much attached to Krishna. She was so much attached to Krishna's devotees. And naturally, in such an attachment, she was completely detached from all selfish ambitions, from all egoistic conceptions of life. She was actually on the highest level of liberation. Her grief was an expression of her pure, unmotivated love. In fact, all the emotions of this world have their origin in divine love. Because everything originates in God, and everything in its essence, in its original state, is pure, because it is all emanating from the pure soul. Greed is the pure quality of the soul. But what is the greed? Pure, unmotivated, selfless greed to render more and more and more service for the pleasure of God. That is transcendental greed. Lust, to be longing, to be yearning, to be reunited with Krishna, is the original lust that is dormant within everyone's heart. Anger, to be angry, transcendentally angry, not because our own egoistic desires are unfulfilled, that is material anger, but anger when we see or hear the blasphemy or the discrediting of the Lord or his devotees. That is an expression of love. And grief. Queen Kunti is suffering grief grief to see the suffering of other living beings, grief to feel the separation from the Lord in our life. When these natural and eternal spiritual emotions of the soul come in contact with the false ego, ahankar, they become polluted. They become the source of material suffering, which has no ecstasy at all. And they involve us in all sorts of karmic activities which create terrible bondage, confusion, and illusion. Therefore, we want to simply free ourselves from the shackles of these characteristics, because they are all causing us so much bondage, and ultimately they are perpetuating the cycle of birth and death. But the path of bhakti is not to annihilate the natural emotions of the soul, but to purify them. There is a saying in the West, do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That means that when you're bathing a child, the water becomes dirty. So you're supposed to throw the dirty water out, but don't throw the baby out with it. The baby's clean. You should just clean him and throw the water out. In the same way, all of these spiritual qualities that we are speaking of, they should not be thrown out, but they should be cleansed. We should throw out immediately and continuously all the misconceptions that we are attaching. Devotees do not want to be desireless. They want to be materially desireless from any pursuance to our own selfish ego. We want to be desireless from the satisfactions of our own mind and senses. But we want to eternally increase our desire to serve and to please our eternal Lord, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So when devotees hear of Mother Kunti Devi crying out in grief, crying out for Krishna, we bow our heads at her lotus feet, praying that by her blessings and by remembering her exalted qualities, we too may someday be able to cry in grief to see the sufferings of others, and to cry in grief seeking out the shelter of the mercy of Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami is especially reminding Maharaj Parikshit that this is his grandmother, because he is more or less in the same situation. He has just been cursed to die in 7 days. And we're already up to the 49th chapter of the 10th canto, which certainly indicates that most of those 7 days have expired. He only has, at the most, 2 or 3 days left in his life. And then he is certain to be killed by the serpent bird of the name Tataksha. For most people, this would be a terrible, terrible crisis in life, to know that you're going to die within 2-3 days. We would be in great anxiety. All that we live for all these years, is going to be stripped away from us. All of our family members, all of the knowledge that we have acquired, all of the skills that we've acquired, our own physical bodies, whatever wealth, possessions that we have attached ourselves to, it is all going to be stripped away in only 2 days. But Shukadev Goswami wanted to remind Maharaj Parikshit of the qualities of his exalted family members. How when Queen Kunti was in a distressful, calamitous situation, she completely absorbed her consciousness in Krishna. And when those calamitous situations were taken away from Kunti, she prayed that they would come again and again and again. She was thinking, when everything is very nice, then I remember Krishna, no doubt, but not with such intense devotion, not with such utter dependence in his mercy. A devotee wants to feel completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Because to the degree we feel utterly dependent in the transcendental grace of the Supreme Godhead, to that degree, the reciprocation of love takes place within our own heart. So for this reason, Queen Kunti, when she was in a safe condition, she prayed, "Please, my Lord, let these distresses, calamities, and disasters happen again and again and again, because in the face of them, I have nowhere else to turn except you. And when I face you, I never have to see death or birth again. When I face you, I see the supreme source of all beauty and bliss. But when I turn to enjoy the comforts of this world, all I see is the sources of death and illusion. So let these calamities come so I can always be turning my eyes and always turning my heart in thoughts of you." Actually, Maharaj Parikshit, when he was cursed to die in 7 days, he actually had the power to counteract that curse. He could have lived a long life. He was still a young man. And he was the king. He had royal opulence. He was living in a beautiful palace. He had beautiful wife. He had wonderful, devoted servants and friends. But because of his wonderful connection to these great devotees, like Kunti, Arjuna, Abhimanyu, he didn't care to counteract the curse. He welcomed it. Oh, I will die in 7 days. Such a wonderful opportunity to turn to Krishna. His birth is another wonderful characteristic story. When he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Ashwatthama sent the deadly Brahmastra weapon against him. The Brahmastra weapon is a mystical weapon which is more powerful than thousands and thousands of atom, hydrogen, or nuclear bombs. But so accurate that it could kill the child within a womb without even hurting the mother. Ashwatthama knew that Parikshit was the sole surviving son of the Pandava dynasty, and he wanted him dead because he was envious. And he threw this Brahmastra weapon, and Uttara, the mother who loved the child in her womb, today, so many ladies, they actually pay to have their child killed in the womb. What has happened to human society? Where the most sacred and precious love between a mother and his child has become so cold. So hard-hearted. But Uttara loved that child. She knew that child, in my womb or out of my womb, it is my child. It is the life that the Lord has entrusted under my care. So when she saw this deadly weapon coming, you can imagine the type of distress she was in. If the weapon was coming to kill her, she would not mind so much. But kill her baby child? It was unimaginable. And she was helpless. She could do nothing to defend her child. So with great feeling, she cried out for Krishna. And Krishna appeared within the womb to counteract the Brahmastra weapon and save the child. Similarly, when Kunti Devi, the grandmother of the grandmother-in-law of Uttara, cried out for Krishna, Krishna protected her sons. By association with surrendered souls, one develops the qualities of surrender to God. So Maharaj Parikshit had this association. So when he was cursed to die, he simply decided, let me take shelter of Krishna. Let me not try to prolong my life. For himself, he didn't care. But we find that Maharaj Parikshit, when he saw Kali personified, beating an innocent cow and bull with a stick, he was ready to punish him severely. If anyone was engaging in any activity contrary to the well-being of any other living being, he became as bold and strong as fire to protect them. But when any injustice was done to him, he became very soft, introspective. Krishna, I am yours. Let anything happen to me, but please, may I always remember you. the goal and purpose of this human life, Shukadev Goswami has already said, is not to live a long time. Because there are trees that live so many thousands of years. Recently, I was in Delhi, and we visited the house of a very wealthy man, and he had these parrots from Africa. And these parrots were saying, "Hello, how are you? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, sir." Just repeating. And he told me that these parrots were over 100 years old. They live well over 100 years. So I was thinking, to live 100 years, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and saying, "Good morning, sir, good morning, sir." Not really such an enlightened state of consciousness. Huh? And trees that stand there, with all respect for the trees. But we do not consider that that's really what we want to attain in life. Shukadev Goswami said, better one moment of pure consciousness than a long, long, long life simply attached to the illusions of this world. And what is the fullest, most pure, and complete consciousness? That complete absorption in taking shelter of Krishna's love. When we associate with the Lord's devotees, when we humbly render service under their instructions, and when we chant the name of the Lord and live a life of purity, live a life based on high virtue and spiritual principles, then these inner qualities of the souls, the very essence of our life, the energy of divine love or bhakti awakens within our heart. So we should long for that, and we should strive for that. Are there any questions? Hearing the wonderful qualities of such devotees as Kunti Devi, these divine spiritual qualities awaken within our heart. It is like medicine. Hearing these beautiful narrations is like the medicine that cures the disease of our hearts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much. Hare Bol.